The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch, on the Raiders Podcast Network.
Well, it wasn't easy and it wasn't pretty, but your Las Vegas Raiders are 1-0. Eddie Pascal hanging out in the fifth quarter presented by Twitch with my guy, Rhett Lewis from the NFL Network. And first off, Rhett, before we just get going, you will notice that my background, a little different than usual. We are at the beautiful Blue Wire Studio down here at the Wynn, and we thank them for helping us out today and giving us a place to do the show. But Rhett, we were talking before we started rolling. If this is the Jimmy G experience, right, if we are looking at 20 of 26, 200 yards, it ain't that bad, man. It really ain't that bad.
Hey, I'm telling you what, that was a lot of fun to watch. It was some good, efficient football. We'll get to the ins and outs of all that we saw from Jimmy today. Let me just first say that it is great to be back.
It feels good to see you. Yeah.
With my friends at Raider Nation, Eddie. Last left you guys talking some draft, and I tell you what, while we didn't see a ton in the stat sheet from Tyree Wilson, we saw a lot of Jacorian Bennett. I'm sure we'll get to that here at some point. But Eddie, to get to your point about Jimmy Garoppolo, this is exactly what Josh McDaniels was looking for. Someone to operate the offense competently with control and command. Now, I think they're going to go back and dissect what in the heck happened in that red zone interception. You know, that could have been a big turning point in that game. Thankfully, defense steps up, keeps the Broncos out of the end zone, you know, on that next drive. And then, you know, you come back and Jimmy's on fire on that go-ahead touchdown drive with some of those explosive throws. So overall, this is exactly what the Raiders wanted from the quarterback spot, knowing the comfortability with Jimmy and with Josh and seeing those two together. It felt like a pretty dang good marriage here to start.
You know, and really for me, I think you hit the nail on the head with it looked comfortable, right? Like we saw those last two games of 2022 where Coach McDaniels really was in the zone and it felt like we got a different version of Josh McDaniels with those final two games as opposed to the first 15 or whatever it was. But Coach looks in the zone, calling plays very much in rhythm. Jimmy answering that bell. And it looked to me, Rhett, like two guys who knew what they were doing, who had a firm grasp of the game plan, what they needed to do going into Sunday, going into a very raucous environment in Denver and how to get and what they needed to do to get a road W. So for me, I look at the efficiency, right? And that's what we wanted to see. And I think there was a beautiful symbolism. I don't know if that's the right word, but we look at the game the play that essentially finished his game for the silver and black. Jimmy gets out, he rolls, he does his thing, he lowers that shoulder, he slides safely and makes sure that he says, yo, this team is going to fly back to Las Vegas with a win. But Rhett, you and I were talking earlier. Yeah, I got really nervous that first drive where I was like, is this it? Is this the Jimmy G experience where he gets lit up pretty good at the goal line there? And I think for just a second, I think all of Raider Nation collectively felt their heartbeat drop a little bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's kind of, trying to make it look. Here's the thing. Jimmy's a gamer. Mm-hmm. Like Jimmy Garoppolo is a competitor and he's out there to win on every rep, right? On every play. And I think that's what we saw in one of those first scrambles where he goes in there and then kind of he goes head first, right? As he's trying to get down, which I'm sure that, I'll have a little chat with Josh about, hey, let's go feet first. And he figured it out at the end, right? And that was a really heads up play at the end, by the way, to go get that first down on 3rd and 7 and then to slide down inbounds, keep that clock rolling, knowing Denver was out of timeouts. And then you could essentially ice the game from there. But that first one, man, I love the will to go out there and do it from Jimmy, but you got to protect yourself as QB1 of this franchise. And you can't make yourself susceptible to a hit like that down the field where he goes down. You're like, oh no, he grabs at the head. You're thinking, is this, going to be evaluated for a head injury type of situation? Thankfully, all is good. And Jimmy gets back out there and I think has a really efficient day, was really kind of spreading the ball around. And look, Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have a ton of experience with Jacoby Myers. They weren't together in New England, but Josh and Jacoby were. And I think, again, those three, that little triumvirate really worked out nicely together. The 9 catches from Jacoby, 2 that went for the touchdown. Obviously, we're hoping you know, yes, that everything's going to be okay with him after the big hit at the end from Kareem Jackson, which, you know, called for the 15-yard penalty and really helped you know, Las Vegas ice that game. So, you know, I hate that it went to, it was because of an injury, and certainly hope that Jacoby is going to be okay and gets back out there here soon. But man, he had a fantastic game. And then when needed, Davante Adams delivered. Davante Adams and Jacoby were terrific. And you throw in those three big completions on that go-ahead touchdown drive from Jimmy. And like, when you needed him to be at his best, he was.
You know, and I think when we kind of zoom out from this game, right, and obviously the Raiders sit here at 1-1, excited to get back to Las Vegas before they get ready to take on the Buffalo Bills a week from now. When we kind of zoom out, I think that, yes, the win is great, but really for me on a, you know, a smaller, kind of more minute level, like, I looked to last year and you look at moments and it felt like, I don't want to say that Davante Adams was a forgotten man at all, because Davante sets pretty much every wide receiver franchise record for the silver and black. But it felt like there were moments where you say, yeah, just let Davante go eat. Like, he's out there, he's in the zone, let him go eat, give him a chance to make a play. Well, that's exactly what Jimmy G did this afternoon, where, you know, I know, yeah, that the offense wasn't as in rhythm as we would like for the duration of the game, but he went and gave 17 his shots to go be a big baller. And I think that if you're a fan of this team, that's something you've been waiting for your quarterback to say, Davante, I know that you're going to Canton one day. I know you are the best at what you do in the game right now. Here's the ball. Go make a play. Go do your thing. And that's exactly what Jimmy did for Davante, and Davante paid him back big time.
Exactly right. And you think about, you know, first and 10 on that drive where they're down 16-10 and it's incomplete. You know, he's looking for Josh Jacobs, and then second and 10, right, from your own 25. Cause now, you know, at this point you're starting to think here, all right, the offense either has to find a rhythm, you know, at some point, you can't keep relying on the defense to come up with big stops. It's time for the offense to take a stand. And so second and 10, you know, you don't want to be in a third and 10 situation. So where does Jimmy go? He goes to Davante for 18 yards. And then, bam, explosive play. Now you're at the 43. Bang. Next up, you go to Jacoby Myers. He gets another, you know, 15-20 there on that second completion of that drive. And then you finish it up with Austin Hooper, who gets you 20. Right. And so, like, those three plays I look at as so crucial. And obviously you get into the end zone with Jacoby Myers, you know, from the, for a 6-yard score. So, like, that was big. Those four completions, obviously, on that drive, I think showed you what Jimmy can be in this offense and what Davante can be as a drive starter, as a big play machine, as a guy you can trust and count on, you know, when you absolutely have to have it, which is what that drive was all about there. And so you go in there, you get the six, you get Daniel Carlson to come in with the extra point to give you essentially the winning margin, and bam, you're feeling pretty good about this thing when they had to have it.
You know, and I think too, where you look at that drive, right? I think you hit the nail on the head, where I feel like that feels like it'll be a microcosm for what this offense could be. Let's not forget that Jimmy G threw four passes in the preseason, right? This is a guy who is still very much getting back into rhythm, getting back at, I don't want to say football shape, but getting into the flow of a regular season. Yeah. And there is no expectation, I don't think, from anyone on our side or anyone in that building, that week one was going to be this perfect 10 out of 10 execution, that it was going to be a smooth, seamless, flawless kind of effort out there in Denver. Now, do you feel a lot better about making those corrections and fixing the things you need to fix when you're 1-0 and you're flying back to the desert with a W? Heck yeah, you do. But I think that you saw what it could be. And I think for week one, that is important. But Rhett, one guy that we talked about a little bit before, but it makes me feel smart. I really hit these. I don't do it a lot, but I was telling my buddies, I said, listen, I just have a feeling that Jacoby Myers is going to thrive in this offense this year for a variety of reasons, right? We got familiarity with coach. We got the fact that Davante Adams is going to take a ton of attention and eyeballs away from him. But man, he did his thing. And I think you said, most importantly, let's hope that Jacoby's okay. But leads the team, 9 receptions, 81 yards, first multi-score game of his career for Mr. Jacoby Myers. I mean, what, when he is right and he is rocking, Rhett, what is having him as a complement to Davante going to do for this offense as a whole?
I think Jacoby just has a real knack for getting open. I think he has a real knack for finding ways to make himself presentable to the quarterback. And I think that's one of the things that really attracted him to the Patriots regime when he was there. Now, the problem when he was in New England was he never found himself in the end zone. Well, rectified that quite quickly here today in his first game as a Las Vegas Raider with those two scores. You know, you open the thing with a score, you finish the thing with a score. I mean, like, that's a big time performance in your first game as a Raider. It's a great way to introduce yourself to the silver and black, to Raider Nation. And so that was a lot of fun to watch. And I just think that he provides a comfortability when you know that Patrick Surtain is going to be spending a lot of time with Davante Adams. You feel very comfortable trusting Jakobi Meyers to find, whether it's, you know, in zone coverage, finding an open spot, right? Moving past, you know, a clouded window to find an area where he can present himself to the quarterback, or when it's man coverage, to generate just enough separation to find yourself, again, open for the quarterback to make a good throw. And so I think that that kind of chemistry with Jimmy and Jakobi was on display. I think obviously they had a really nice training camp together. And so that part of their, you know, progression together, I think is only going to get better. And the fact that you have that second kind of outside option, you know, when Devontae is locked up in a heck of a battle as he was with Patrick Surtain today, and he got his fair share of wins, by the way. But I think that is such a vital piece to this offense moving forward. And then I think ultimately you're going to see more Michael Mayer. You're going to see more Austin Hooper in the tight end position. As we saw, you know, Austin obviously made a huge play in this game, arguably one of the very biggest, with that 20-yard catch to help, again, set up the go-ahead touchdown and extra point. But I think there's just a lot to like about the options in the passing game now. Now, look, Eddie, let's not make any mistake. The run game is not a finished product at this point. And I think obviously everyone wearing silver and black today would probably tell you that, including Josh Jacobs. But the fact that he was able to come in here and give you 19 carries, if they're not having, you know, a full training camp or full preseason, again, makes you feel pretty good about where they could eventually get to.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about Josh, too, I mean, the fact that he did have those 19 carries, he was targeted three times in the passing game, so call it 22 touches. But the fact that he was still getting burned in the fourth quarter, I think that was a big question for this fan base going into week one is, hey, we know Josh is going to play. We know he's going to give max effort. He's in great shape, all that stuff. But there's a difference between him being in really, really good normal people shape and in football shape. And you look at Josh's line, right? 19 carries, 48 yards, averages 2.5 yards a carry. Certainly not the Josh Jacobs line that we've grown accustomed to. But I think for me, as I sit here post-game, I'm encouraged by the fact that Coach McDaniels, that Jimmy trusted him in those fourth quarter big, gotta have a moment. So is it to your point, is it a finished product? Absolutely not. But it's a great, great kind of base level as we go through the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, and I would agree. And I look, I think, you know, it takes a little bit for an offensive line, I feel like, to sometimes find their rhythm together in a real game situation for a full four quarters. And, you know, the run game will continue to be a work in progress, you know, and finding those fits, targeting, you know, those defenders up front. And look, that's a pretty good defense there, too. I mean, Draymond Jones got a ton of money to come, Draymond Jones is a real good player for Denver. I mean, like, they spent, and, you know, Randy Gregory brought it, you know, spent a ton of money to come in and bring him there. And it's like, they've got some good players up front. And you know, I think this offensive line will benefit from playing this first game that way. And I think you're going to see eventually some better things from the run game, you know, essentially for the league's reigning rushing champion from a year ago.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you bring up a great point about it takes a little time for the offensive line to gel. We got Greg Van Roten in there, who is a new addition in 2023. Yeah. But all the same, I mean, the big fellas up front, Jimmy G does not get sacked on the day, and we have heard
exactly
so much.
That part was great.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep Jimmy clean for a variety of reasons, and that is exactly what they did. But Rhett, we talked a lot about the offense, but, you know, coming into really 2023 in general, if you were to poll your random Raiders fans on the street, they say, okay, what do you need? What does this team need to be successful this season? They say, okay, we feel pretty good about the offense, but this defense has to take a tangible step forward. And to me, going on the road, allowing 16 points against a Russell Wilson who looks very much like the Russell Wilson of old, Max Crosby out there doing his thing. I think we talk about not a finished product for the run game, certainly not a finished product for the defense, but again, a really, really good step one for this group as they progress through September and into October at some point.
Well, and I think the good thing is, like, you got the performances you expected from a couple of key players, you know, and Max was constantly, you know, harassing, right? He was either getting near Russell and forcing him to bounce out of the pocket, you know, getting his arms up, putting his arms up in the, you know, that big, big old wingspan, putting that in the passing lanes and kind of, you know, forcing some altered throws. And then obviously did get home on that one sack, which was important. Jerry Tillery, you know, fighting through, like, just an effort sack and a coverage sack. I think ultimately terrific coverage downfield late, and then eventually gets to Russell Wilson. And you know, forces another one of those sacks, another one of those negative plays for the Denver Broncos offense, which is important. And then Nate Hobbs, I think, you know, we've all kind of come to expect a steady Eddie type of performance from him in the secondary, and brought you that both, you know, in the pass game and in run support. I mean, guy finishes with 8 tackles on the day. It's your leading tackler. It's a pretty good deal. But the thing that I was, and the Divine Diablo, I think, again, it kind of continues to show his progress from the linebacker spot. But a couple of things that I ultimately ended up being impressed with was, you know, seeing Robert Spillane, you know, in his first real opportunity, you know, to be a starting linebacker. And you know, he was all over the field, you know, at times. And then Jacorian Bennett, you know, rookie out of Maryland, great speed. And it was clear that the Broncos were trying to target him and that they were going to go after him early and often in this game and kind of just stood there, took some heat early and took some shots. He had a couple penalties he'll want back. But again, ends up making seven tackles, a guy that's flying around out there. So like that, I thought was really important to see, you know, Tyree Wilson getting some important reps and obviously didn't, you know, he's going to, I imagine he's going to factor in, you know, more heavily into that rotation as this season grows older. And you're going to see Tyree Wilson's name in the box score here in the future, even though we didn't really a ton today. Trayvon Merrick, again, another one that can kind of be there to help, you know, clean things up when you really need to. So again, I think you got some solid performances from guys you expected to be there. And then I thought, you know, overall from some guys making Raider debuts, it was pretty impressive too.
You know, and I'm glad you brought up Jacorian because he's a guy that you talked about on the Raiders NFL Draft podcast, Shameless plug alert with you and Bucky Brooks. But, you know, I think for me, you look at DBs in the NFL, especially for rookies, and I say this all the time, DB is a position of failure, for better or for worse, right? You are going to get cooked. It doesn't matter if you're the reincarnation of Deion Sanders, man. You're going to get got at someday. But, you know, for Jacorian, we talk about those two pass interferences on one of those early drives, but comes back right after that with a big third down tackle. What does it tell you about the makeup of this dude who's clearly got some courage in him if he's wearing number zero as a rookie in the NFL? But what does it tell you about Jacorian that he's like, look, I'm going to get got, but I'm going to come back, be bigger, stronger, faster, and I'm really not going to let that kind of those mistakes define me today?
Well, let's make no mistake, that zero was a bullseye early on, and and it was for Russell Wilson, and they were really going after him, whether it was, you know, Cortland Sutton, you know, it was a little, you know, little Jordan Murphy, Humphrey was in there. And so like they were definitely getting after him a little bit, but again, you don't do that. You don't wear that number. You don't come out there in a big time role early on as a rookie and not feel like you've got a competitive edge that's going to serve you well in terms of not shaking your confidence when things don't go well. I mean, it's almost like a quarterback. You got to wipe that slate clean every rep. You got to wipe that slate clean every play. You know, you give up a first down, bam, you got to come back. And because this game does not stop, that drive does not stop just because, you know, you feel like you made a mistake or you weren't able to make a play that you thought you should have. So that short-term memory, I think, is really important for a player like that and for Bennett. He's going to have some good days ahead here in Silver and Black.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we talk about things that need to get better, good days ahead. I mean, I know it is week one. The penalties still not great as we dive into the first regular season games. Raiders at 10 for 97 yards. And look, if you want to play good football, if you want to be a team that's making noise in November, December, or hopefully January and beyond, you got to clean that up. And this is just me, Rhett, but like, you know, no reason to hit the panic button just yet for the penalties. How much of that do you attribute, hey, it's week one, these guys haven't really played together, the preseason is kind of a reimagined preseason compared to years past, and you know, it's just one of those things that, yes, it's got to get better, but again, you feel a lot better fixing those things after you're flying back to Vegas with a W.
Well, that's certainly the case. You'd much rather fix things, you know, feeling pretty good at 1-0, but, you know, there's a couple of things that, you know, coaches have harped on and have repped and should be very fresh in your mind still from training camp and from the preseason. Like you can't have the roughing. The roughing the punt.
And
you
just can't have it. As a special teams guy, that hurt me deeply, Rhett. Yeah. It hurt me deeply. Luke Masterson, friend of the program. You can't do that.
No. And look, you know, you're trying to be aggressive. You're trying to go out there and get and make a play. But then you end up giving the Broncos a fresh set of downs. Credit to the defense for standing tall in the face of some adversity there, coming back out, you know, after getting a big time stop and then still, you know, keeping some points off the board and giving the offense another chance to go back then down there and convert on the winning touchdown and extra points. So, yeah, I look, Luke Masterson is going to figure that out, right? You're not going to do that twice and survive in this league. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, you know, he's going to figure that thing out and, you know, he's a good player. And I felt for him, obviously. You know, you see the ISOs on the sideline. You can just see it in his face, and he's getting some encouragement from his teammates on the sideline. But, man, you know how that feels. You force the defense to go back out there, you know, a little tired, a little exhausted here. They think they've got a reprieve, and then bang. That one, to me, hurts, especially considering how late in the game it was. So, like, you look at that as one of those kind of big-time you know, potential mistakes that you absolutely have to clean up. And then just to kind of get back on this frame of conversation here, Eddie, and talk about, you know, mistakes that you're going to try to figure out for next week. You know that Jimmy Garoppolo knows he can't force that ball down in the red zone, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like that's one of those where, man, you know, thank goodness Will Lutz misses an extra point, you know, early on, right? Because then you could be talking about an overtime situation. Obviously, the game might have played out a little bit differently with timing and all that, had it actually have been where you were going to, you know, be in a situation where you could actually have, you know, a tie or an overtime. That might have changed the thinking. But you think back about those things, you know, you're thinking about, you know, if you don't get the touchdown, you've got 3 points, right? You're in absolutely in Daniel Carlson field goal range there. It's almost, you know, it's automatic range. It's like, you've got to come away with points there. Interceptions in the red zone, you just can't have it. And if Jimmy's going to go back and look at that thing and be like, oh my gosh, I should have just thrown that into the 30th row, you know, and live to play another day. Like those are those things that, you know, you like about Jimmy because of his competitiveness and his, you know, ability to want to go out there and make plays at every turn. But at some point you have to be able to dial that back and be like, hold on, let me just throw this thing away or run this thing out of bounds. And let's just play for the field goal here, because that's not a bad play either.
No, I mean,
so you look at some of those things and they'll clean that up.
Yeah. And that's what we talk about, the game situation. I think the fact that a lot of guys don't, and it's not a bad thing, but the fact that you don't have a chance to kind of script out those deals during the preseason because a lot of guys just don't play. I mean, I think there's an element of, hey, we just kind of got to figure this out. And again, week one, kind of the, not the jitters, but just the funkiness of it all. But Rhett, I'm going to test your NFL knowledge here for a sec. So per our friends at Raiders PR, with the win today, Jimmy Garoppolo now has 41 quarterback wins in games that he started since entering the league in 2014. The third most in the National Football League over that span, behind only two people, Rhett Lewis. Who are they?
Oh, Jimmy has the third most QB wins?
He sure does. Since 2014.
That is incredible.
Dude just wins.
Okay, well, Patrick Mahomes is one.
Ding, ding, ding. Yep, all right. Okay. Number one, he's got 46.
That's an easy one there. And like, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, you might think like, all right, Jalen Hurts had a great year last year, but that was really, he has not been starting for a long time. Trying to think of teams that have found themselves in winning spots. Definitely not Geno Smith. I also wanted to say Matthew Stafford, but I think that the 1 year with the Rams was really good. The year before was okay.
You're right there. I sense it. I know you are. I see the wheels turning. I see it. So you got
Tom Brady?
No, no. So it's Mahomes one
it's
at 46. Yeah, it's active. And then Lamar Jackson at 43.
Oh, Lamar.
We forget about Lamar.
He's missed a lot of time too the last 2 years. So like, that's impressive.
Yeah. And then you got Jimmy G at 41. How about that?
He's a winner, man.
He is. He just wins, comma, baby. In the grand scheme of things, Rhett Lewis, we look at the Raiders now sitting at 1-0. They're going to come back to Vegas. Then they will fly out to West Virginia for the week later this week and get ready for week two against the mighty Buffalo Bills. Just in the grand scheme of wanting to start the season the right way, 1-0, going back on the road, what is a early season win, I don't want to say decisive win, but a big win for this team, a team with so many new pieces? What do you think this does to the psyche as they now prepare to go on the road again before ultimately coming back here to Vegas to open this thing up at Allegiant Stadium week three on primetime?
Yeah, all right. So I think that's important because, there's so many new pieces. And anytime you have a new quarterback, like, you want to be able to rally around a guy like that that's going to be a face of the franchise, is a face of the franchise, still young in the tenure of Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler here. So, like, I think what you're talking about here is this is validation, right? This is a division win, all right? So it's almost like a bonus, right? When you get a dub inside the division, you know that can help you down the stretch as you're fighting for playoff position and you're fighting for division standing down the stretch. So what it says to me is, hey, these are the things, you know, Josh McDaniels can probably point back to the things that we talk about that are very important to this team in terms of foundational principles, in terms of philosophy, in terms of team DNA. You look back at some of those things and you see those things transpire in a game like this, in which you did come away with the W, however difficult it was. And you can say, look, when we do this stuff and when we accomplish these things that we have talked about time and time again throughout July, throughout August, into September, it works. The plan works. Validation is there. And that only helps to bring confidence, especially amongst young players, you know, that you're going to rely on, like a Jacorian Bennett, right, that we were just talking about, like a Michael Mayer, like a Tyree Wilson, you know, eventually like a Trey Tucker, if he gets an opportunity. Like, you can look back on these moments, you can be like, hey, all right, well, I'm buying what coach is selling here, because now we've seen it transpire in terms of dubs, in terms of wins and losses, 1-0. And obviously, you know, you're gonna be parked in front of the TV Monday night watching the Buffalo Bills take on the New York Jets to see what that thing looks like ahead of that Week 2 matchup. But I think it makes you feel really good about where you are, knowing that, all right, we didn't play our best, but we were still able to come away with a victory. So again, that pumps confidence. That pumps fuel into your team as you go into this practice week.
And you know what else you feel really good about is as we sit here and the entire AFC West has played their first week of football, there is one team atop the AFC West standings, the way too early. Let's all smile and congratulate ourselves. But as we sit here and record on a Sunday night, your Las Vegas Raiders sitting at 1-0 atop the AFC West.
Wow, but Dolphins came out on top.
Did they?
Against the Chargers. I would say, yeah,
oh, that's right. Well, they won. Must have. Yeah, they must have. I'm looking at the standings. Yeah. Wow. How about that?
Okay. So yeah, only team that won, only AFC West team who wins a game on week one.
Only one. And they reside here in Las Vegas, and they're on their way back to Vegas as we speak right now, before we get ready for week two. And man, Rhett, it was so good to see you, brother. I appreciate you joining us, man, on short notice. It was so good to see you. It was so good to hear your voice. It was great too, the synergy of it all, to get to talk about some of these rookies that you and Bucky did such a good job of getting us ready for over the offseason, throughout draft season. But I know we will talk soon. I know it's just a matter of time. So thank you for hanging out with us. For Eddie Pascal, my guy Rhett Lewis, everyone else at Silver and Black Productions. And real quick, a big, once again, shout out to our guys here at Blue Wire Studios for giving us shelter in the storm today. We really, really appreciate them. Raider Nation, enjoy your victory Monday. It has been a hot minute since we have had one of those. Your Las Vegas Raiders are 1-0, sitting on top of the division of the AFC West. And we will see you guys next week following their week two matchup against the Buffalo Bills in the fifth quarter, presented by Twitch.
Thank you for listening to the fifth quarter, presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.
Karma Automotive, Forbes magazine's most anticipated luxury electric vehicle. Karma Automotive is a luxury EV brand designed and manufactured in California. Proud sponsor and official luxury vehicle of the Las Vegas Raiders. Charge the motion beyond EV. Karma Automotive.